And let's look at a few verses here before we jump into today's lesson. Here's one from 1 Peter 4:16. If any man suffer as a Christian, let not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Now, why would he be ashamed? Because we view suffering with a mindset of frailty, one's frailty. Okay? And with frailty is shame. And it says here, but if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. That means it's concerning, you're not professing your frailty. Okay, you're continually professing Christ. So in that way, it says, if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. That is to view yourself in the weakness of the flesh because of your struggles. Okay, so we don't view ourselves in the weakness of flesh. We view ourselves from the throne of God. So I says, and this is Chief Elder Peter saying this, Apostle Peter, yet if any man suffers as a Christian, and through his experiences as an apostle, okay, he's pinning these things with the instruction of Christ and the anointing. Okay, as Jesus says, all things that I said unto you, he will bring all things to your remembrance. And these were things which Jesus instructed them, okay, prior to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, before the day of Pentecost. After the day of Pentecost, the anointing continued to instruct them that they, by the Holy Ghost, had given them these commandments. So he says here, glorify God. So the suffering doesn't glorify God, okay, but it has to do with the perception. Okay, so that's why he says, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. Okay, that means we are continually partaking of his anointing. Remember, the anointing gives us mobility, and mobility has to do with that which is of his presence, the mobility of his presence. Okay, the law, okay, that which is of the law, is work, which works death, puts us in a state of immobility. You're not mobilized with Christ. That's out of 1 Peter 4:16. And also in 4:19, Peter says the same thing, Chief Elder Peter. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to keeping in their souls. That's what we do at the altar, don't we? We commit to keeping our souls, standing at the altar, partaking of Christ, partaking of his meat, okay, and partaking of his drink, okay, as those of the first covenant. Okay, that we see that the priest partook of the sacrifices of the altar, okay, and also the family. And all those of the family or the household of God partake of the knowledge of his altar. So wherefore, them that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. Okay, that God will continue to assist them. Okay, assist them with these tokens. And that's why he's called a faithful creator. A faithful creator, that he is continually birthing his virtue within us through your cycles of growth as we continue to find our strength within the anointing, not with the frailty or the weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the flesh is identified with the law, okay, because that which is the law cannot give strength nor purge the conscience. But that which is the anointing, okay, purges the conscience and awakens us from the dead. All right, that's out of 1 Peter 4:19, if you want to make a note on that. And of course, by these things, we're casting all our care upon him. That's also in 1 Peter 5:7. If you want to make a note on that, 1 Peter 5:7. Okay, we're putting our sacrifices upon the altar, casting all your care. That's the tokens there. Casting all your care upon him. We're not casting upon him our frailty. Okay, for that he suffered on the cross physically. Okay, but we worship him who rose from the dead. Okay, he provided the tokens of the covenant, okay, through the shedding of his blood, but now he's overseeing, okay, the issuing of these things in these gifts, okay, the gifts to callings, the graces of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, okay, because he cares for you. He provides these tokens to give you sustaining strength as you continue to pray in the spirit, as you continue to attend to his altar. That's out of 1 Peter 5:7. Well, let's look at something here from the book of Ezekiel. You'll see what Brother Ezekiel has to say. Right before the bell rings here. This is out of Ezekiel chapter 41. In chapter 41, we see an interesting design which is put within the walls of the tabernacle or the temple. And in the design, we see cherubims and palm trees. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Why cherubims and palm trees? Because the ministering spirits identify with those that have palms in their hands. We have palms in our hands. Those of the first rapture, they are clothed with robes of his glory, and also they have palms in their hands. We're being identified with the temple. Hey, we're identified with this priesthood. That's why we have palms in our hands. The Spirit of the Lord is making distinction between those of the first rapture and those of the second rapture. Now, those of the second rapture sing the song of Moses, the song of the Lamb, because it's identifying that which is of the 144,000, which are those of the tribe of Israel, okay, the house of Jacob. Now, in Ezekiel 41, we see this, and it was made, that is the walls of the temple, it was made with cherubims and palm trees, which has to do with the tethering of his grace and the stewardship in the priesthood, palm trees. So that a palm tree was between a cherub, and a cherub, which is a tether and tutor of our faith, and a cherub, and every cherub had two faces. This shows that the knowledge joins us to his strength and courage, face to face, as one will see God face to face. So that the face of a man, it was toward the palm tree on the one side, and the face of a young lion toward a palm tree on the other side. And it was made through all the house run about. We are the house of Eva, and which is face to face. And in this you gain strength, because the knowledge which I'm providing for you is as palms in your hands. From the ground unto above the door were cherubims and palm trees made, and the wall of the temple, because we bear the image of Christ within us. And we'll be talking more about that. The posts of the temple were squared. Everything bore perfect equity. In the face of the sanctuary, the appearance of the one is the appearance of the other. The appearance of the one is the appearance of other. That we don't bear any distinctions of ourself, not our culture, not our race, not our tradition, but only that which is of Christ, that which is of the temple. So those just coming in, we read a few selected scriptures here, and now we're going to Thessalonians. So open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Pick up where we left off. We're starting around verse 12. The Apostle Paul continues to exhort the saints. When you read the scriptures, you have to read them in connection to the stewardship, as the Apostle Paul brings out in his epistles here. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus unto the church. And we see the same language in the book of Revelation. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Sardis and Smyrna. Unto the angel of the church of Pergamos. And the angel of the church of Thyatira. Okay? Here we can see there's a connection. Now, we just talked about that in the book out of Ezekiel. Okay, we saw a cherubim and a palm tree. A cherubim and a palm tree. And each cherubim had two faces, the face of a man and the face of a lion. Okay, which shows that we don't bear distinction, okay, of our own aspirations, but each one of us are the same which bear the face of Christ, okay, being of the household of God. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, our origin and our destiny is based upon the knowledge which we have received, the bread of heaven. It's based upon the knowledge which we receive and drink of, okay, of his wine, okay, and also of his body. He of his flesh and of his blood. So we go on here that with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and I'll start in verse 10 here, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. Truth becomes a burden to the fool and to the lazy believer. Truth becomes a burden because truth demands conformity. And we conform through the anointing, grace and truth. They that worship him in spirit and in truth by the anointing on the foundation. Okay, if there's no foundation, then the Spirit has nothing to labor with. But we provide the Spirit with this knowledge. The Spirit labors with this knowledge. The Spirit works with this knowledge. And by this is drawn from within our soul. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Okay, we draw from him and we drink of him. As the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. Okay, and by these things our thirst is quenched, okay, by the knowledge which we have received. This is our baptism. Our baptism is not that which is the soil. Our baptism comes that which is from above. Okay, this is our holy baptism, as the Apostle Paul brings out there in Colossians 2. Okay, now we'll start with verse 12 here. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth. There's a second time he said that, who believed not the truth. They refused the yoke of this knowledge, because the yoke of knowledge is under the oversight of the apostles' calling. It's under the oversight of the steward. It goes right back to the garden, Adam and Eve. Okay, Adam was going to be established as the steward within that garden. Okay, to till the garden. He was established as the steward of the garden. And Eve was provided for him, and that through her, there would be an assistance to build and bond with him in the light, okay, of that garden. But the transgression separated them from the light. And as we read about last week, they were put within the vessels of pitch. Okay, as the ark of Noah was covered in pitch, and also the ark of Moses was covered in pitch. And when the Lord came into this dimension, he came into the dimension of pitch, darkness. Okay, and the world was covered in darkness. Okay, and he was the light that came into this world. But the light was conceived in the pitch, as Noah was conceived in the ark, and Moses conceived in the ark, until it was revealed. So we see, okay, that men love darkness rather than light. Okay, those that love the darkness are outside of the ark. Okay, those that love darkness are outside of the ark, but we are in the ark. Okay, and regarding that which is concerning his light. Okay, when the Lord came into this world, light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were built upon independent knowledge, false knowledge. And this independent false knowledge, it was joined to the chains of guilt. Okay, the chains of guilt work with false knowledge. And with that comes false justifications. Okay, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. I like the word damned there, which means saltless charity. Okay, the things which they speak would be condemning themselves. Okay, they became cursed children. Of course, Chief Elder Peter brings that out too. Cursed children, that's the language he uses. They are as cursed children. Okay, Judas Iscariot also is identified with cursed children. His circumcision was invalid because he profaned the things of God. He took for himself. He was known as the thief. He had the bag. He stole for himself. He took for himself. He valued only those things which were earthbound. And because of that, he walked in darkness. And in the end, he hung himself. We'll be talking more about that when we get to Leviticus. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. They refuse the yoke. In other words, believe, which means to acknowledge, to mold with, and submit to. The foundation of truth was missing from them. They had nothing to build with. Even though their profession was of God, they honored him with their lips, but their heart was far from them. There was no root or bonding with him. So that was the profession which Jesus assigned to the Pharisees and Sadducees. For indeed, they honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. So I hide the word truth there. Facts which are consistent with his character, his purpose, and his plan. And we are consistent with these facts which are consistent with his character, his purpose, and his plan. Okay, those things which represent him are the things which we offer back to him, which is Jesus Christ. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. We take pleasure in faith. Okay, unrighteousness is the opposite, okay, of righteousness, because unrighteousness works with the aspiration. It retains the independence from the Godhead. Okay, it retains independence from the Godhead. Okay, it is as a broken pail, cracked pail, okay, or a cracked vase, which are not contain, okay, any fluids within it. Okay, if you put water in a cracked cup, okay, it's going to seep through the crack. Okay, and so that is the soul of the sinner. Okay, and it's the soul of the sinner begins to shrivel and die as a plant that lacks moisture. Okay, and we see this also in Revelation chapter 6. Figs falling from a fig tree, blown with a violent wind. Okay, these are those that fall away from the stewardship, the fig tree being the stewardship. Okay, and these dried figs, dead figs, fall away. This is what's unfolding in the present time. Okay, in the second eighth week, as it's drawing to its conclusion, there'll be those that will fall away from stewardship. Okay, and we see this, it's very evident within a false religious system. They're trying to establish a testimony, but they're not engrafted within the vine. And this, Jesus brought this to the attention of the apostles when he said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Okay, I'm the vine, you are the branches. The stewardship, okay, is that which is of the vine. Okay, the branches are those which continually sup upon, okay, that which the vine provides for them. Okay, and fruitfulness only comes through this engrafting, the joining to the vine. It's self-evident. The false religious system, okay, are the rotten figs. Okay, we see this also in the book of the prophets. The rotten figs are so rotten, spoiled, that they stink, and no one would consume rotten figs. They all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. We take pleasure in faith, for without faith it's impossible to please him. Okay, Hebrews 6. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Okay, we believe that he is. What do you mean believing that he is? Which means we're functioning in his priesthood. Okay, we are attending to the altar of Jesus Christ. So therefore, we believe that he is. And with those that believe that he is functioning the priesthood, okay, receive these rewards. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You're diligently seeking him by attending to the altar. Okay, in other words, you have fire and salt within your charity. Every sacrifice should be salted with fire. Every sacrifice should be salted with salt. This is what Jesus was speaking of. His knowledge was salted with fire. His knowledge was salted with salt. The things which I'm speaking to you, as Jesus said, okay, or burning within the conscience, is awakening the conscience. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. So hide the word beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord, which means close to embrace his anointing. Beloved of the Lord, close to embrace his anointing. Okay, we see the same thing. We'll be talking about that when we get to the Gospel of John. Close to embrace his anointing. Okay, so let's talk about that. The beloved of the Lord, close to embrace the anointing, even as John laid in the Lord's bosom. Now, we're going to go and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, that's the first place we're going to turn to here in today's lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Around verse 1 and to verse 4, then we'd be jumping over a few other verses here. Moreover, brethren, in addition to these things, which means bringing the body in subjection, moreover, brethren, okay, this is the key and pillar that we embrace, the key and the pillar here. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant. In other words, he's telling the saints here, connect the dots. Connect the dots. You got your government, truth, and spirit. Connect the dots there. Prayer, preaching, and prophecy, connect the dots there. Gifts, callings, and graces of God, connect the dots there. Now, as we read through 1 Corinthians, you can see in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 is dedicated to these things. The manifestation of Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The bread of heaven is given to every saint to partake of, because we're of the family of this priesthood. We're the family of the priesthood. Only those of the family of the priesthood are not strangers. Those of the family of this family, okay, are those which are sanctified through the priesthood. Okay, so moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant that how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Okay, that means they were tested by the rod. They were tested by the rod of the stewardship. They all passed. All our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Okay, so we see that each challenge brought a separation. Each challenge brings separation, okay, for perfection. This is unfolded when your personal life as well as it is as concerning the church. Okay, there's the cycles that the church goes through as a whole, and there's the cycles that we personally go through as an individual, as the great and precious promises. Chief Elder Peter and Apostle Peter talked about those things. We are all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea under his stewardship. So we see how the stewardship gave knowledge to the people and the power is present to reward their faith. Okay, and he goes on, and didn't all eat the same spiritual meat? Okay, to them it was a physical, but to us a spiritual. So keep that in mind. To them it was physical, which is a type and shadow. But that which is the physical has restrictions put on it, the restrictions of time. Okay, even the manna had restrictions of time. You had it, you partake of it of that day, or else it would breed worms. The knowledge that you have received, okay, through the stewardship, okay, must be ingested at the time in order to be expressed, okay, in purity and not breed worms. Those of the false religious system, okay, eat spoiled figs, okay, and their sacrifices are over the time limit. Okay, the expiration date is well past. Hey, so all did eat the same spiritual meat, which is truth. These are the tokens of transference to remove the curse. Tokens of transference remove the curse. They came out of Egypt, they had to be re-educated. Their whole diet changed from the corn of Egypt to that which Pharaoh provided for them to the corn which is from above, which God provided for them. Okay, the knowledge which Moses provided for them, they had received a new education because the responsibility now was upon them, okay, to serve God according to the terms of a different covenant. To them, it was a new covenant. Did all eat the same spiritual meat? You can highlight the word spiritual meat there in verse 3. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, that which is a spirit, anointing, grace, and truth. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and what was that spiritual rock? It was invisible to the eye, but yet they were partaking of physical things. And that rock was Christ. That you would behold the face of God in these tokens. You behold the face of God in these tokens, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God. All these things, these nine tokens here, okay, are necessary, okay, for a wholesome diet. If any one of the strands, okay, of this cord are broken, okay, then you see adrift, okay, as the apostle brings out, Chief Elder Peter or Chief Elder Jude brings that out, okay, as concerning ships that crash upon the rock, raging waves of sea and foaming out their own shame, wandering stars. See, the language that he uses there, see, is a broken cord, okay, a broken cord, a cord or a loosed tether. Okay, these are those which he brings out. They are broken from the stewardship. They have no foundation to build upon. Raging waves of the sea sweep them away. They have no footing because they're building their confidence upon the sand. The sand represents that which is the people of this world. The knowledge of this world is the sand. Okay, but those which build upon a rock, that rock is Christ, okay, are able to stand fast. Okay, they're able to stand fast against these things. That rock was Christ. Let's go to verse 16, or 15 and 16 here. I speak as to wise men. Okay, I address those that love this knowledge, wise men. I speak those that love this knowledge. Okay, so I speak as to wise men. If you want to escape the concupiscence of the passions of the law only addresses your frailty. Okay, but the anointing addresses your faith. Okay, that which the guilt is built with the tethers of the past. The anointing builds, okay, with that which is of the presence of the Lord now. That which is the presence of the Lord. Okay, and that's why he says, I speak to wise men, those that love my knowledge. Okay, wise men, and judge you what I say. Okay, now you can weigh these things with perfect equity if you're building on the knowledge of this foundation. The cup of blessing which we bless, he says here. Okay, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. Okay, we don't partake of the physical, we partake of the spiritual. That rock is Christ. Okay, so our footing now is within him. Okay, but that which is the law wandered in the wilderness. Even so today, the children of the flesh wander in the wilderness. They have no footing, and they're swept with every wind of doctrine. All right, verse 17, for we being many, he says here, a what? Okay, are one bread. Okay, one bread. Paul is talking to those under his stewardship. Now, when those that are untethered from the throne, untethered from stewardship, read these exact verses, which we're reading right now, okay, they make application as one that steals. Okay, they're not under stewardship, so therefore they remain aloof. Okay, a loaf or departed from the true bread. So we are one bread and one body if we are all partakers of that one bread. So Paul's saying this to warn you that the idolaters will remove the gold from the altar to make the idol of calf. Verse 18. Behold Israel after the flesh. As an example, he's providing contrast for the Corinthian saints. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Yes. Okay, those which are partake of the altar, those which labor at the altar are partaker of its meat. Okay, and we're going to read more about that here. To understand this more, we're going to go to the book of Ruth for a moment here. Okay, so I'm going to turn to the book of Ruth. Okay, and this is in Ruth chapter 4. We'll read a few verses here. We'll start with verse 12. Let your house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare, Tamar Mesopotamia now bare to Judah, okay, of the seed which the Lord shall give you of this young woman of Judah. That this woman of Moab, she was a daughter of Lot. And you see these in the genealogies, because the Lord was not establishing a testimony for the flesh. He was establishing a testimony of faith. Whom Tamar bare to Judah, of the seed of which the Lord shall give you of this young woman. Okay, we see both Jew and Gentile here being joined together in one bread. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left you this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Nay, well spoken of. The Spirit of the Lord is doing something here. Right? And he shall be unto you a restorer of your life. See, can I like that? A restorer of your life. He's going to be a bridge over death's shadow. Okay, Messiah will come, and he will be a bridge over death's shadow. Okay, which this woman is born to you. And he shall be unto you a restorer of your life. This is what God's doing today. A bridge of weeks is taking place. Okay, through the anointing, joining the first eighth week to the second eighth week. Okay, through the rod, through the key, okay, through the stewardship. And he shall be unto you a restorer of your life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, which loves you, and which is better to you than seven sons, which is the common labor. Okay, has borne him. Seven sons represents also as a stewardship of this world. The stewardship of this world is restricted by the law, but the stewardship of the anointing, okay, is as an open door. As Jesus said, he that opens to me, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Verse 16, and Naomi took the child, that she put her husband's name on him, okay, even as Rachel. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom. See the word bosom there, hide the word bosom. And became nurse to it. And the women now, her neighbors, gave him a name or title, saying, there's a son born to Naomi. Even though it didn't come physically from her, okay, but it was a proxy. Okay, and we see also the proxies of the law. Okay, the proxies were provided as temporary tokens to point to the living one that would come. Okay, and they called his name Obed. And from here we can see the history through the genealogies. He's the father of Jesse, okay, the father of David, which would be the second Ram. Okay, and we go on, and as you go on through the history here, okay, which we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, Boaz the seventh of Judah, Jesse the tenth of Judah, David the seventh of Jesse, and the tenth also of Phares. We rejoice in the mystery that bears this pattern of 10 and 7 throughout history, that the invisible will become visible in Christ. Born in the flesh of a woman of this waters, which God cursed, but redeemed by Jesus Christ, a restorer of life. That which was common, God now justified by his cleansing and the revelation. Okay, rejoicing in the spiritual, new spiritual genealogy of Christ. Okay, that's why we receive the white stone. Now, from here, we're going to talk more about a new altar. But let's first establish the understanding with that which is the first covenant, Leviticus chapter 2. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 2. If your oblation be a meat offering, we'll start in verse 7. If your oblation be a meat offering, baked in a frying pan, it should be made of fine flour mingled with oil, which has to do with the flesh of the Spirit, which is the name of Jesus Christ. Flour and oil, flesh and spirit, Jesus Christ. And you shall bring the meat offering that is made of these things there, the flour and the oil, unto the Lord. It is the Spirit that sanctifies. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. Okay, the altar, but not the throne yet, because Christ hasn't come yet. Christ must be sacrificed to bring innocence to the Father. He shall bring it to the altar. We bring it to the throne, the altar of Christ. Verse 9, the priest shall take of the meat offering a memorial, okay, the roots of the flesh which go back to Adam, and shall burn it upon the altar. Okay, and we must change. Things must go through an altar of change, altered of change, because the flesh of Adam must be changed by the anointing of Christ. Christ will give this change in his covenant. Fire changes the consistency. Okay, when you put meat on the fire, the fire changes the consistency of the meat. Like a barbecue, it changes the consistency of the meat. Fire changes the visage. The anointing changes, okay, the visage of your face from that which is of the flesh to that which is of the spirit. And that which is left of the meat offering, verse 10, shall be Aaron's and his sons, Aaron and sons. This is your charity, okay, as Christ and the apostles at the Last Supper. It is a thing most holy, because it sanctifies, of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Hide the word fire there. Okay, the fire gives it the value. The anointing gives our faith value. Without the anointing, we have dead faith, feigned faith, or saltless faith. Okay, no meat offering which you shall bring to the Lord shall be made with leavened, earthly, or bear that of the image, the image of the flesh, be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, nor any offering of the Lord made by fire. But we can see it shall not remain within its natural state. But yet Samson and Jonathan ate also of honey, as John the Baptist did. But they were not restricted by the law because the Spirit was upon them. They are not restricted by the law because the Spirit was upon them. Okay, now let's go to Leviticus chapter 22. Let's get a little more understanding here of what took place at the Last Supper. Okay, when Jesus was sharing that which is of his body and of his blood. Okay, when he said, drink you all of it, or partake of this. All right, we'll start, we're now in Leviticus chapter 22, if you want to make a note on that. And we're going to start with around verse 7. Now, when the sun is down, he shall be clean. Okay, the evening and morning were the first day. So when the sun is down, he shall be clean. Okay, and shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. That which dies of itself or is torn with beast, he shall not eat to defile himself therewith. I am the Lord, which means I sanctify faith, not your religious aspirations. I sanctify it. The anointing sanctifies the knowledge. The anointing gives the knowledge its life. The anointing gives the knowledge its life, which you feel right now. Yeah, you feel the cloud of the Lord, the light of his life, the fire of the altar. Is in your soul right now. Okay? That's life-giving knowledge. They shall therefore keep my ordinance, that which he has assigned for this time, lest they bear sin for it. I mean, and the soul that sins, what does it mean, the sin it shall die? And the soul fades for lack of strength. If you don't partake of the meat of the altar, okay, physically speaking, if you don't eat, you lose your strength. You need protein for strength. Okay, we need the protein of his spirit for strength. We eat of his tokens daily. Okay, as we pray in the spirit, we pray in tongues. Okay, we assign the time, okay, for our fellowship with the Lord, knowing that he delights in these things, okay, that we retain our sanctification and strength. I, the Lord, do sanctify them. Therefore, if they profane it, that means they make common my word, and steal my word for themselves, they profane it, and therefore they shall die. But I, the Lord, do sanctify them, that go through the proper procedure. There shall no stranger eat of the holy thing. Highlight that, no stranger, no ignorance cannot partake of it. You need knowledge to partake of this meat. No stranger shall eat of the holy thing. A stranger of the priest or a hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. Yeah, like that. He shall not eat of the holy thing. Okay, that has to do with the portions which are provided for you, okay, are given for those whose hearts are prepared in truth, in spirit, and in truth. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall eat of it. Okay, and that's what the scriptures bear out. For you are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. What was the price? Jesus' sacrifice. The shekel of this knowledge has purchased you so that you can partake of the table of the priesthood without transgression. If the priest buy any soul with his money, as Jesus is the high priest of our profession, Hebrews talks about that. He was three. If the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall eat of it. And he that is born in his house, they shall eat of his meat. We are born again of him. Okay, we are born of the Spirit. He has engrafted his Spirit within us. Okay, so that we are partakers, okay, of his table, being children of this adoption, heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Now, let's see some interesting things here, that there's going to be a change that's going to be coming. Those which are of the anointing, okay, work with the season. Just like animals of the field. Animals of the field, their coats change with the changing of the season. When the weather gets colder, when the fall comes, the leaves turn color, okay, and the weather turns cooler. And the beasts of the field, the soul which is in them, the record of the soul, okay, which is in them, initiates the change, okay, in their behavior. Okay, some begin to eat more as the bear before the winter sets in. Some, their coats begin to change and grow thicker as the season gets colder and colder and colder to where it gets below zero. The coat of the animals change. The deer outside right now are losing their winter coat. Okay, as they go through the briars and the thorns. The briars and the thorns act as a comb, okay, removing the winter coat from them and to groom them for summer, okay, as the weather gets warmer now. Now let's go to Joel chapter 2. Okay, that we are those of season. The times and the seasons, as Paul said, you have no need I write unto you. Okay, because you are prepared. The record of this gospel, okay, has prepared you to work with the anointing of the changing seasons. But those, okay, which are without are not observing the changing of the seasons, okay, from the sixth week to the second, eighth week. Therefore, they are considered as a transgressor against Christ. Now in the book of Joel, everybody should be there now. We're going to start around verse 1 of chapter 1. This is a word, a vision of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Okay, that means change will bring confusion. This is why the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing upon Joel, being the steward, is talking about a changing season. Things will be different, okay, when Messiah comes. Okay, that these traditions, which the Jews were accustomed to, okay, will be a challenge to them. So let's read about this. Verse 2. Hear this, you old men, which is the old wineskin. Hear this, you old men. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days or even the days of your fathers? Something different is happening. Then he says here, tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children another generation. Of course, Enoch says the same thing in the book of Enoch. He wrote this, that each generation needs to have, okay, an understanding of the knowledge which the Spirit gave to Enoch. And Joel, speaking by that same Spirit, change is coming to restore true faith. That's what he's saying. Change is coming to restore true faith, but not that which is of the soil, but that which is of the heaven. Okay, the false stewards. False stewards are as these and those that plunder. So let's read about that. They will not change with the season. That which is the palmer worm, that which the palmer worm has left, has the locust eaten. That which the locust has left has the cankerworm eaten. You can see this in the false religious system today. How that the evangelist will plunder is the leftovers for the pastor to eat. And that which the pastor will plunder should be leftovers for the teachers to eat. Okay? And so forth. Okay, that which the locust has left has the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm has left has the caterpillar eaten. Because each generation only contributes to the confusion that they learned. They steal faith, they misdirect your hope, they crush your labor under the greed for more. Awake, you drunkards that drink this wine offering, the wine offering. Awake, you drunkards, and weep and howl, you all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. I like the word new wine there. Okay, because this is what the Spirit is revealing to Joel. There's going to be confusion. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the doctors of the law and the scribes, did not prepare their hearts for the changing of the seasons from the fifth week of David to the first eighth week that Christ was bringing, okay, as a mediator. The time has come. They which sat in darkness saw great light, and they which sat in the shadow of death, light has sprung up. Jesus' ministry began to bring new knowledge, where they even testified, what are these things he's talking about? What is this new knowledge he speaks? Because of the new wine, that which is cut off from your mouth. That means Christ will come soon, but not in your season. For a nation has come up upon your land, my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are as the teeth of a lion, and he has the cheek teeth of a great lion, even as Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And he has laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree, stripped it clean. He has made clean bare, naked, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering, the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests of the Lord's ministers mourn. Something has changed here. The field is wasted, the land mourns. The corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languishes. Be you ashamed, husbandmen, howl, you vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. That which is natural, the changing seasons. The vine is dried up, the fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm trees, also in the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because the land reflects the condition of your soul. Because joy is withheld, is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. How are you, ministers of the altar? The law is no more valid. Okay, the meat of the altar of the law of Moses, okay, will not be that which you're feasting upon any longer. Because all that came ever before me, okay, were, as Jesus said, okay, false prophets. All that ever came before me. Okay, they plundered you. Okay, that's exactly what Joel's talking about. The plundering, and the passage of time, the changing of the seasons. He says, come, lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God, for the meat offering, the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify you a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders, all the inhabitants of the land at the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord, saying this, alas for the day, when will Messiah come? Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand. As a mighty and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. I mean, it's going to cause pain and change. This is what the false religious system is feeling. Okay, that the Lord has withheld the food of their lips because of the transgressions of their soul. They deny stewardship. They walk contrary to the Spirit. And yet they're claiming to feed the people. But they're the ones that are stealing the food out of the mouth of the children. Okay, but now let's go to, now we're going to go to the Gospel of John here. The Gospel of John chapter 13. We'll read some more. We'll start here in verse 18. Okay, now Jesus speaking here, I'm not sanctifying the protesters. Not the caterpillars. Okay, not the locusts. Not the worm. That's what he's saying. I'm not sanctifying the protesters. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. That means I know those consenters that I selected in my Father's bosom. They are those which are sitting with me here now. Okay, but though they're sitting with me now, okay, there is one that's unclean among you, one is profane. He says here, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Okay, many will consume the meat for the belly, but despise the head, the stewardship that feeds them, and then kick at government. He has lifted up his heel against me. He kicks against the pricks. Now that's exactly the language the Lord spoke to Saul of Tarsus before his name was changed to Paul, being an apostle. Saul of Tarsus, the light that knocked him from the horse there, or knocked him down, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. The heel is lifted up against me. You're persecuting those of the anointing in order to try to establish the memorial of your law, the memorial of the past. Of course, the prophet Joel spoke about it is those of the law that are stealing food out of the children's mouth. We see this today, that the doctrine of Nicolaitans is stealing food from the children's mouth. Those that observe the law kill the beast. Okay, but those that observe the spirit can give life to the soul. Okay, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. Okay, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. So I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. that I'm that true stone and the true bread. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send. Interesting, he's just talking about that. Whosoever I send, which means I have selected you as stewards. You represent me. My kingdom is invisible, but the knowledge as you speak, it will give sight to the eyes. That means they will see my face in your knowledge. That which the palmer worm has eaten. You're going to use a disinfectant on these bugs. You're going to spray the plants to kill these bugs that want to consume. The knowledge, the truth which I give you is going to be a bug killer. Okay, so he that receives whomsoever I have sent receives me. And he that received me receives him that sent me. You see the completed cycle there. The cycle is completed to the vessels whom I have sent. So when Jesus had said thus, he was troubled. Cite the word troubled there. He observed that the apostles' understanding was restricted because their conscience was not yet purified. That's why he was troubled. Their conscience was not yet purified. Okay? But the time will come when they will embrace what he's talking about and understand it. Okay? But at this point, they didn't. So when Jesus said this, he was troubled in spirit and testified, saying this, made known to them, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Those which are not laboring with me will betray me. Well, let's see what else happens here. Then the disciples looked at one another, doubting of what he spoke. They were feeling lost in this word that he spoke to them. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, highlight the word leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples who Jesus loved. Okay, now we talked about that in the book of Ruth. Okay, that which Ruth bore to Naomi was laid in her bosom as to become one of the family. Okay, though she was a Moabitess, that which is the seed of Lot. Okay, yet that which she born, was going to be put within the genealogies that pointed to Christ, because that which she born, was that which is of her faith. She joined to Boaz, who was of Judah. She joined to Boaz. So the child that was born to her was going to be the token, thread there which Christ would come from. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved that would be sent out. Okay, because John embraced the altar of the holy knowledge. John was embracing the altar of the holy knowledge. He found rest in Christ, the knowledge which Jesus spoke. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to John there, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be to whom Jesus spoke, mentioned as the traitor. That he then lying on Jesus' breast or bosom spoke to him, verse 25, Lord, who is it that is that betrays you, who we can't see right now? But Jesus said, he it is to whom I shall give the sop. And notice now what we read in the book of Leviticus chapter 22. Identified those which are not born of the house, those which are not of the house of the priest, being a stranger, shall not eat of the meat of the priest. And Jesus gave it to him, which was Judas Iscariot's condemnation, because he ate unworthily. He it is to whom I should give the sop. That means you will see the man when I, being the bread of life, shall shed my blood. He ate the holy bread with unwashing hands, a stranger to my house, Leviticus 22. He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. Now, when Jesus now had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. It was a sign of the bitter herbs, which represents the suffering, which represents also false knowledge. False knowledge sours the soul, because the law is bitter, but the spirit is sweet. Now let's go back to Thessalonians. We can see why the Apostle Paul made mention numerous times concerning that they received not the love of the truth, because the love of the truth is as that which is sour in the mouth of the unconverted believer. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. This is where your refuge and stewardship is at for your remission of sin. But there is no remission of sin if there's no truth. Where there's truth, there's remission. Where truth is absent, that means their sin, therefore, is retained. No matter how much they confess, their sin is not remitted. And this power gave Jesus to Peter, the chief elder, Peter, an apostle, okay, that whosoever sins they remit, they remitted. Whosoever sins they retain, they retained. Okay, those which join the stewardship are acknowledging the anointing. Therefore, they are released from transgression. Okay, but those which deny the stewardship, therefore their sins are retained. All right? And therefore, God has given them strong delusion. They begin to build a different gospel outside of the stewardship, which we see today, okay, in the false religious system. The saltless gospel is preached by the transgressors, which teach their sheep to retain independence, but at the same time to cry to God for forgiveness. That's a derision. They're put between a rock and a hard place. They don't understand that the problems that they're facing is a direct result of their untethering of the stewardship. And of course, the Apostle Paul brings that out. They deny the head. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. They follow the record of their own soul. The record of their own soul is the gospel that's called a lie. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, they shall not enter into the covenant of the Lord. Their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelations chapter 22 brings that out. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. They're making a gospel of their own record. Our record is Jesus Christ. We follow his record, as Chief Elder and Apostle Peter brings out in Acts chapter 1. Our belief system begins here. From John's baptism to his ascension, must one be witness with us. We follow the record of Jesus through the transition that takes place. Jesus provided a transition within himself, both water and fire, from John's baptism, the transition of the first covenant to that of into the second covenant, through the voice of the stewardship of John the Baptist, that which the Spirit was upon, who was sanctified by God, who partook of honey, which was not lawful for the priest to eat. It was not lawful for the priest to eat, but John the Baptist could eat wild berries and honey, because the angel of the Lord sanctified him. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you all. Verse 13, beloved of the Lord. Okay, we talked about that. Beloved of the Lord, because those beloved, which means close to embrace his anointing, as John, the Apostle John, laid in Jesus' bosom. See the connection between that. We lay within the bosom of our Lord, as you partake of this knowledge. Of his bread and of his wine. So we're beloved of the Lord because God has from the beginning. That means before the world was. Before the world was, God has from the beginning chosen you. You that are partaking of this, you which consented in the Father's bosom, have now been confirmed by this virtue, by this power. You have now been confirmed, sanctified of him. Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit. You accepted the terms of the covenant, of his government. The government is upon Jesus' shoulder. And by the government upon Jesus' shoulder, this is a yoke which we are identifying with today. The government, the truth, the Spirit. By these things, we understand that he is the one that's called Wonderful. And by these things, he is the one that's called Counselor. Because we all wait upon the counsel of the Lord. We all wait upon the working of his anointing, which he works within us marvelously. So he's chosen you from the beginning now to salvation through sanctification. How do the word sanctification? Through this, the anointing separates you from the world to God. And by these tokens, we separate ourselves from the world to him, as holiness to the Lord. Only a holy vessel can touch him, because without holiness, no man shall see God. You can't touch God apart from his Christ, because he provides us the hands to touch him with. Sanctified hands, through stewardship. That's why the Lord uses the word hand in identification with the stewardship. That through the hand of Moses, that's the stewardship of Moses, the hand of the Lord was upon him. We see this the same language used in Revelations chapter 2 there, in chapter 1, chapter 2. When the Lord laid his right hand upon John the Apostle. The right hand which Jesus laid upon John also had the seven stars in his right hand. And he laid his right hand upon me. Okay? And when he laid his right hand upon him, okay, he says, you must now prophesy. Okay? You must now speak, okay, to the church this knowledge. They have to be joined to your stewardship. Okay, the seven churches of Asia, of course, which we can see the letters which were written to them showed that there was a conformity to this mystery. There's a conformity to this mystery. So we see there in Revelations chapter 1, 2, and 3, the conditions of churches, which was the first eighth week, we can see the same thing in the second eighth week. Okay, that which is the first eighth week was corrected through the stewardship, and that which is second eighth week is corrected through the stewardship. Okay, we can see that they received their sanctification the first eighth week. The sanctification of the Spirit, okay, that was the anointing provided for them in this form of separation for transitioning. And belief of the truth. So I like the word Spirit and truth there in verse 13. Spirit and truth, the true sanctification for the separation. Separation, preparation, consecration, initiation. Okay, your consecration comes through this form of separation, through your cycles of growth. Okay, you continually partake and eat of him. Wherefore, he called you by our gospel. See the word our gospel? He called you by our gospel. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. He called you by our gospel. Okay, that means because you're joined to him through the knowledge that you have received. Those of the false religious system, in order to try to justify their independence from stewardship, say, make this gesture here, it's just me and Jesus. That's what they would say. Oh, it's just me and Jesus. Well, the truth is that the mediation of this knowledge must come through stewardship for it to be you and Jesus. Okay? The epistles which are written identify this tethering. Okay, so let's finish up here in verse 14. Wherefore he called you by our gospel. Cite the word our gospel there. To the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In order for this fruit to be born with you by the sanctification, you have to accept the knowledge that you hear. You have to allow this knowledge to sink and take root within you. Okay, as it takes root within you through the hearing of the ear, it also takes fruit within you through the confession of the mouth. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, that if you believe with your heart the Lord Jesus, confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Okay, and of course, he brings that out. It's a good scripture to memorize, too. That is, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, as you believe in your heart. Okay, so believe in the heart, the confession of the mouth. Okay, it is this charity that's salted with salt and that's salted with fire, okay, that brings about the healing of the soul. And as it's written, by whose stripes you are healed.
All those which are listening today, if you would like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. And well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.